The following audio is a Pod Bros exclusive. The video, on the other hand, well, I'm not sure. Welcome to episode 10 of Media Litter Sandwich. With me is Crazy Mark from CrazyMark.com and William from AllAboutWilliam.com. I'm Toden from Toden.com, and this is Media Litter Sandwich, which you can now find us on Pod Bros, Podbean, YouTube underneath Toden K, MediaLitterSandwich.com.
Yep.
Right on.
And if you wish to hit any of us on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, just go to our websites. You could find us. I think that's a little bit of effort, but honestly, I don't think that's, I don't think that's too bad, is it?
No, it isn't. The links are pretty much right there when you check us
out. And it's on Media Litter Sandwich in our About Us section.
Oh, they are now. Or they will be when this goes live.
They will be when this goes live.
They will be when this goes live.
I had just... It was kind of a cram to get the... I haven't done the menu system since they introduced it, so I was kind of... It was a learning curve for me, so...
Yeah, which, you know, we do... Everyone wears many hats, and the interview we have today is we're talking to two guys, one guy in particular that wears many hats for a platform, and I'm talking about Slackjaw. Slackjaw Punk, that's it.
Oh yeah. Bubba and Jay and the rest of them.
So I did this interview by myself, and there's definitely some mistakes.
Okay.
Yeah, like his big head's in the middle of, in front of one guy.
Right, well, I set it up, and then I needed to still reach across the table to them, so I moved where I was sitting, but I couldn't, and I couldn't see the viewfinder for the camera, so I'm actually blocking the guy that
enough excuses, Toden. It's happened to everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone. Even you can admit it's happened to you.
Okay, so, all right, here's the interview, Slackjaw Punks.
I'm sitting here with Bubba and Jay of Slackjaw Punks. So tell me what you guys do real quick.
We, slackjawpunks.com is a website that is all about genre movies, comic books, video games, horror movies, sci-fi, fantasy. We are a bunch of fanboys that love this stuff to death, and that's what we do. Right now, we are home to 10 podcasts, including Slackjaw Punk's podcast, a slew of staff writers. What else have we got going on? Interviews. Everything.
Yeah, just everything that like evolves around like geek culture. Like I said, video games. Like, video games were not big. We were always looking at video games, but... We're more, horror-based, just anything geek culture.
So you said you actually have staff writers. So you actually have writers writing for these podcasts?
No, we have writers who do, like, movie reviews, comic book reviews.
Interviews.
You know, stuff like that. That's what's in the website itself. The podcasts are part of that website, and
the website has staff writers.
All right, so the website's more like a blog that has other content in it.
Slackjawpunks.com is kind of like a network of all this stuff.
It's an umbrella.
There you go. And then it's home to 10 different podcasts, a bunch of writers, really cool, a lot of cool stuff going on there. Recent interviews, our YouTube channel, we're building that up. Eric Andre from The Eric Andre Show, Hannibal Buress, Tim Heidecker from Tim and Eric on there, all that stuff. You know, we've really kind of built it up to this really cool.
So do you count yourself as producers? Because you're obviously getting interviews with, you know, with people in industry and stuff like that. So you consider yourself producer yet, or you go through other means?
He is a producer. He does so much. And this, he's laughing, but he does so much for this website. I mean, honestly, he's executive producer, and we're joking, but it's true. He does a lot, and he puts all this stuff together, and it's amazing stuff.
I guess you could say a producer. I guess because to say a producer, I feel like I'm taking away from all the work everyone else is doing. You know, these podcasts, Brainwaves, the Green Brain Comics podcast, Comics Are Cool, Y'alls and Yars, Creaking Door, What Did I Just Watch? These guys are doing it them, you know, like I'm just giving them an outlet. I mean, obviously we're producing our podcast, but you produce it too. And, you know, that's, but then the writers and giving them the content to write, the screeners and all that, interviews, setting them up. I guess in that capacity, but I try to take as little credit because it's really the people doing it, man, our writers and stuff.
Okay, well, let's put it this way. How much time do you put into this in a week? See, now you're going to call yourself a producer now, aren't you?
It's a second full-time job.
No, that's why, like, he's so... He puts a lot of time into it. But, you know, everyone, like he said, though, a lot of people do it, and you do it out of love for the genre. It's a hobby. And if you're going in to make money, you're disappointed. I mean, because if you make money off of it, it's awesome. If you don't, you're doing something you love.
Making money is not a goal.
No.
That's why we all have day jobs. If you want to be a part of Slack Jaw Punks, you got to love this. And you got to have a passion for this craziness. Trauma Dance is a fine example. Like, you got to love this. You got to love this genre. And the guys like Ed Terrence and Mike at Trauma Dance, man, they are people we should all be rallying behind. Because these put their money where their mouth is. Literally. So, like, these like-minded... And that's kind of the beauty of Slack Jaw Punks, meeting like-minded people.
And you can see I messed up. I mean, there's ways you can cover that. Like, I was thinking about maybe taking his head and imprinting on top of my head just as kind of a joke.
Yeah, but I don't think that would have came out looking too good.
Right. I mean, the people that are just listening to the audio podcast are like, what's wrong? I mean...
sounded good.
Yeah, I think so. And there's, you know, looking back on it, there's things I could have done. Like, they're right in front of their own microphones because they're doing live podcasts. Yeah. Maybe I could have just got a feed from them and just use their microphones. I don't know if that would have worked, but it would not have hurt to ask. That's one thing I could have done.
Well, there's this sweet mushroom that you have here that could have worked.
Mark is holding a mushroom for those that are listening to the podcast and can't see what he is doing.
And it has a happy face on it.
But that's beside the point. He's producing mushrooms. And man, he talked a lot about producing, but...
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, take a look. If you saw the video, you saw once again there was the big obstruction in there. But honestly, everybody's had a large obstruction or some sort of thing happen in their video productions. So... You know, go ahead, voice it back to us. Let us know, has anything crazy happened to you guys out there in the listening and viewing audience?
And that's how you learn. You learn by making mistakes, by things happening. And reviewing that, I at least have like 3 or 4 different things that I, you know, it's like, okay, this is what I should look for. This is what I should. And it's like, yeah, no matter how often you do this, because I don't know how many times I've done this. You know, you can still make mistakes. It happens. Hey, at least I hit record.
There's that.
People forget to hit record.
Or take the lens cap off.
Take the lens cap off, yep.
Yep.
Plugging the microphone into the camera or into the recording device.
I have a video where it's all built-in audio because I forgot to turn the mic on.
Hey, how about charging the batteries the night before?
Done that too. You can ask Scott. I went to Motor City Comic Con and went, I gotta sit in the press room for a minute. I didn't charge the batteries.
Remember that. Times where I forgot to bring enough business cards. I only brought like 20 business cards with me. I think it was one of the Comic Con trips.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Even worse than not charging the batteries the night before, getting to your destination and finding out you have no batteries.
Yes.
Done that too.
Yeah.
I have done that too. And I've gotten to a paid gig and went, I'll be right back. I got to run to the store, pick up $90 batteries because I'm getting paid to be there.
Or back when you were recording on tape, you forgot all your tape stock, which has happened to me. Not me forgetting it, actually. Someone else forgetting it. And I remember telling one of the fellow producers and writers, hey, look, do you need me to bring tape stock? No, I got enough. Do you need me to bring tape stock? Brand new tape stock. Do not reuse tapes for this shoot.
Yeah, everyone. Oh. How many times have you recycled?
I no longer asked.
Guess what he did? reused tapes, and we lost a good hour's worth of shooting.
So how much digital beauty happened on that tape? You can only imagine.
Well, oh, man. That's a whole other story.
I no longer even assume that they're going to bring it. I just assume they're going to forget everything. Mm-hmm. And I take SD cards, cameras. I've had a paid gig where I was like a second shooter, and I just left my camera somewhere because he was like, here, I have a camera for you. But I just assumed he wasn't going to bring me one.
Right. Have your resources all together. Have extras. Gosh almighty, I don't know how many times I've learned that fact, and so I carry a lot of junk in my trunk, so to speak.
As an independent creator, you are used to relying on yourself.
Yes,
and of course. Just like in the interview, I was by myself, only to rely on myself, and sometimes that happens because I didn't have someone else, you know, holding the camera or watching my back. But when you're working with a team, you're so used to that mindset of watching, being yourself. And that interview, I mean, when he's talking about being a producer but doesn't want to call himself a producer because he doesn't want to take that credit away from other people. And I totally understand that because, you know.
But the thing is being a producer, you have to wear many hats once again, Toad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get somewhere, you have to follow up behind everyone. In a sense, you have to be everyone just in case the director doesn't show up or a creative talent doesn't show up. All of a sudden, a decision is placed on your head whether or not to produce indoors or outdoors at the last second. What do you do? What kind of budget do you run? Take a look at the budget that you have ahead. How much longer can you stay in the field? There's tons of questions, and you know this, Toad.
Right? I think all of us have had experience where we show up to a set or a gig where we're expected to, where we're thinking we're only doing one thing, and, you know, like we might be back up to someone just setting up something, and then all of a sudden we had to step up to another role.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of what a good person, a good producer, even they're not a producer, that they have to do sometimes. I mean, different sets have different rules, like when you get to unions and stuff, that then gets messy. But as an independent creator, you're wearing a ton of hats, and I totally understand that even though you're producing and you're wearing a bunch of hats, you don't want to take credit from other people.
No, you don't.
At all. No, never.
But I mean, that's why he doesn't want to, you know, he didn't want to call himself a producer. That's why I kind of dragged it out. I'm like, well, how many hours do you work a week? You know, because this guy is helping people get interviews. He's helping people write. He's helping, you know, even though it's other people's stuff and they're doing a ton of work, they're doing their own podcasts, they're doing their own articles all on their platform, Slackjaw Punks. You know, he's got 10 podcasts going on and a bunch of different writers, which is kind of like a blog thing. He's not in charge of what they're doing, but he's oversighting. So he is the overall producer.
Yeah, he's got a producer. He's got a bunch of other producers there, too, it seems.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're doing it for the love of it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. If you're an independent creator, you gotta love first.
Yes.
Don't get into anything, oh, I'm going to make a ton of money doing this. You're going to end up hating it.
Oh, yeah.
William's got an experience tale here. Go ahead, let us know. Go ahead.
I had a whole computer business on that. Mm-hmm. It was doing actually really good until it went really south. And then, yeah. Turns out I don't like it when it's really south.
Oh, that far south. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, losing money. Losing sleep.
Pretty much.
Yeah, Toden's over here. He's like, well, yes, I've lost a lot of sleep and a lot of money there, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. One thing what I was a producer for is Road Reel. I did 2015 Road Reel, and it was a lot of fun. My writer-director partner, he actually did most of the writing. I mean, we came up with the story art between the two of us, and he mostly wrote it, and he directed it, and I gotta give him a lot of credit. Now, part of my road reel, they sometimes give away things. Now, we didn't win anything with our video, but they gave us some stuff, which if you're watching the video, you see I have a couple things on the table.
Look at this.
They were a little late coming out. We just got from 2015 now. We have a video micro, and we also have a video micro boom pole, which is actually very nice, very light, made for the video micro microphone. These are from Rode. very, very good microphone. I have a I do use Rode. I use, if you, again, watching the video, the microphone I've been using for these interviews is a Rode Reporter microphone. And previously on the podcast, when we were just using a boom mic, that was a Rode NTG2. So I'm giving these to my director. I mean, I shouldn't say I'm giving them to him because he earned them. I mean, we have so many people that helped us. It really feels bad. Like, you could only, one or two people can have these. I almost split them up. But
yeah, let's bring in a samurai and cut this microphone in half.
Well, I'm
and
saying,
this in thirds, you know.
I meant, like, one person get the microphone, one person get the boom pole. But how can you even do that? It's so hard, you know, when everyone volunteers their time, because no one got paid. You know, so as the producer, as the team leader in this case, how, you know, I just can't take everything from
myself.
You're
getting the barter situation going on here.
Fits.
Can you feel the barter going on? I feel a barter thing happening. Yeah! There, now goes the two people. No.
But, you know, when you have a couple things, which Rode didn't have to do anything, this is like a $200 value. How do you, out of, like, let's say 20, 30 people, how do you decide who gets what? That, again,
about roll the dice, a game of Dungeons and Dragons?
I've seen that, too.
I've seen that.
I've seen people win a production group in a competition, and they won a lottery for a camera, and so they just run another lottery to who to get something, but no one's getting paid.
Strong, bad trivia.
These are things that you have to think about sometimes when you're doing an independent group and doing competitions and doing things, and someone gives you something. Same thing in a workplace. I've been in workplaces where someone high on the chain's like, hey guys, here's a, I got an extra computer. Who wants the brand new iMac?
All of a sudden,
so who gets the brand new iMac in the shop?
Everybody comes rushing forward.
Like, well, I'm editing this, this, and that. I could use a more powerful machine. Well, I'm doing this, this, and that. I could use more.
Can we say pinata?
Somebody has to be the main person in charge, and, you know, it's difficult. And I think that's part of being the executive producer or a director.
Well, executive producer, yeah, you got the money, you got the power there. You know,
it's not always about the money. Sometimes it's
about
just
the
leadership, and you got to be able to have leadership.
Right on. And it's all about the love.
It's all about the love.
And it's all about the freebies.
Okay, Mark. Well, you can't depend on the freebies, though.
Oh, no, you can't. No. So this, you
I mean, let's look at this table. You know, let's look at everything. Yeah, I have $200 worth of stuff for free I got from Rode. However, I had to spend for the camera, the tripod. In this case, it's for the podcast. You know, everything you see on this table besides these two Rode items, you know, had to come from somewhere. Right now, we don't have any sponsors, so it all had to come from somewhere. And your time
and
is worth
pretty,
money.
It all looks pretty expensive, too.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Your time is worth money. I mean, make no mistake, this isn't free. It's amazing that they help you out. It's amazing when you get something.
So we got to give Rode kudos. That's
awesome.
Yeah,
I always give Rode their due.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and look at Slackjaw Punks, because we talked about them.
Bub and Jay,
you know, we
you
talked
rock.
To John Brewski about Pod Bros, and yep. It's another podcast network, Slackjaw Punks. They're very, very different. And you're going to find that when you look at any networks, podcasting network, blogging network, YouTube networks. Every network is very different.
Yes, Bubba and Jay, they rock. They go on and on about these wonderful stories of whatever they've encountered in the horror realm, sci-fi, whatever they want to call it. But these are definitely entertaining guys. You got to check them out at slackjawpunks.com. Anytime, anywhere, you know, within the first minute, you know, you're hooked. You got to check them out.
Okay, so today we talk about, again, a little bit touching on platforms, because when you're a creator, you got to look for ways to network, and platforms are a good way to network if you're part of a platform or even part of some kind of network, or, you know, even if you're not part of them. Like, we're not part of Slackjaw Punks. We're actually part of Pod Bros, which the audio is a Pod Bros exclusive.
Pod Bros.
Well, that's not going to stop us from talking to Slackjaw Punks. And the other, you know, we're going to another podcast meetup here in October, brought to you by Podcast Detroit. Awesome, awesome,
awesome
over
group.
There.
Fantastic studio.
Those guys are absolutely amazing. Always lots of love to them, even though they're probably not listening to us, but that's fine.
Oh, they'll check us out. They're checking us out.
Just like Slackjaw Punks and just like us, they got day jobs too. You know, talking about doing it for the love, and they do. They do a lot.
Yes.
Which, if you're involved, you do a lot. So, okay, so again, we talked about Slackjaw Punks as a platform. They got writers, bloggers, all that good stuff.
Being a producer, what does it really mean? And I'll tell you from what I found out, though, and in the industry, a producer has no creative say-so until the director doesn't show up, and then they have to meet the budget. They have to get the entire crew, cast, materials, the entire kip and caboodle. I'm using that thing again, kip and caboodle, to get together and make it happen under budget so that they all of a sudden they don't produce this great big money pit.
And just because you're a producer doesn't mean you're not wearing many hats. As a creator, you're wearing many hats. But I've learned now in the bigger sets, I can't be a producer and a camera operator and like three other things. Like on Win the Cure, the one I did with the road reel, I was a producer, I was a camera operator, I was assistant director. I don't want to call myself a writer, but maybe assistant writer. I helped come up with the storyline and a couple minor things. Brian Dundas, my partner Ducky on that, wrote the majority of it and directed it. You know, he gets all that credit for as I'm concerned. But since I was also the producer, something happened on set, and I actually had to leave and have someone else be a camera operator, which, big shout out to Lenny Sherman, which also has a podcast, which I can't think of right now. He helped out and was able to step into that role. But now I know next time maybe I should just limit my roles as the shoots get bigger if I can, because I had to leave set because I was a producer. Because like you said, as a producer, your job is to get the thing going, but you're not really a creative person.
And then
not a creative role, excuse me. Of course you're a creative person, not a creative role always.
Yeah, many times you won't find a producer in the field. He'll be behind a desk answering phones and making sure everything is in place.
He might not even be on set, yeah.
Like what about you, William? You've had this experience before, busy on the phone, or?
I've had it never while I was doing something. Mm-hmm. But my job doesn't really involve me using a video camera very often.
But as an entrepreneur, like running the computer stuff.
Or a photography business, mm-hmm. there's a lot that I'm on the phone a lot. Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's times where I'm thinking if I do a 40-hour contest, one of those where you have to be somewhere in person, if I'm a writer or a director or something, I probably shouldn't even go. Or if I'm a producer, I may want to be the only person that goes and just call people up and relay the information. There's no reason why the director needs to be in certain meetings, especially in super pre-production up.
You're going to find that director out in the field quite a bit. The producer, though, you might find the producer out in the field also.
Not even out in the field.
Well, maybe so, too, because you got your whole office and mm-hmm. your smartphone right there.
Right.
Because you figure if you've got a multi-million-dollar production going on there, it's going to be helter-skelter on the set between the director and the producer and the assistant producer, assistant directors, all your different peeps out there taking care of your extras. I mean, the list goes on and on. When there's a lot of money to burn and you have 24 hours to match, meet up with a window. Like, say, for example, there's a studio out west. I'm not going to mention its name right off the bat, but for $100,000, you can get this wonderful facility for 24 hours. And that 23-plus-hour timeline, you want to take care of all of your production. So you're pulling a 23.5-hour.
Pre-production is the key.
Yes. So you're going to take advantage of all that time, and that producer is going to be hustling, that director is going to be hustling. I could go on and on about this, but
we can talk about that another time. Hopefully I'll cut that out.
Hopefully.
I'll just do the ending again. You can find Mark at crazymark.com, William at allaboutwilliam.com, and me at toden.com or youtube.com/todenk. And of course, find us on Pod Bros, Media Litter Sandwich. Thank you for watching. Comment, rate, subscribe, tag us. We will find if you tag one of us, and we will talk to each other. Let us know what you think. Did we mess up the term of producer? We know it's a very blanket term. Maybe you give some of your producing roles to somebody else, or you just say, we're all producers, which we are. Thank you, thank you, thank you for watching, listening, and hope you enjoyed our discussion.
Gracias.